Let's be honest this morning, church. Every believer, every one of us, sometimes walks through seasons when we just don't understand God. The same way that baby probably didn't get the main idea of the story, the same way we sometimes are just perplexed and confused. Actually, during this week, we keep mentioning these conversations, but that's just all we do this week. So that's why we talk about this so much. But actually, we encountered some people who shared their confusion. Some people also live with questions to God. Some people say, if there is a guy like that, there can't be God. Or others say that they experiencing some tragic events in their lives and they just want to hear something from God. Some people look at churches, at Christians, and they just don't understand how is it all working out in this way. I was curious and I looked what are the most popular questions from people to God, and I found some. For example, if God is good and all-powerful, why is there so much suffering? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why is God silent? Why doesn't God just show himself? How can a loving God send people to hell? And this list goes on. Sometimes I think that if God came on earth today, he would gather all people at some stadium and he would say, all right, now it's time for questions and answers. Raise your hand who has a question. And everybody just raises their hand because everybody has a question. And actually, it's not only the problem of our generation. It has always been like that. Looking at the Bible, we can see that from the very beginning, people had some questions. Even Adam and Eve. After eating that fruit, people were vindicating themselves, yeah? And Eve said to God, it was the serpent who deceived me. Saying that, Eve was kind of questioning God. Why did you create this creature? Why was he in the garden at first place? The same was with Adam's and Eve's son, Cain. When Cain didn't sacrifice a lamb, but brought the fruits which he grew, that was also kind of question to God, because Cain didn't accept that he needed a savior, and he didn't want to accept the fact that his parents made mistakes, and now he has to suffer and he has to go through all of that. Moving forward, we can mention Abraham, for example. He was waiting for a son for years. At some point, he was so confused that he decided to act himself. And he made a mistake. But because he was so perplexed, he just didn't understand why was God silent. Actually, even when Jesus came the first time on earth, people were also confused and even more. Because they were expecting something different. But Jesus just made them lost more than they were. Especially when Jesus was crucified. I hope that when God comes back, he will answer all these questions. Because it's written that we will not cry there and God will explain everything. I guess it will happen through the 1,000 kingdom. But what should we do now? How should we react when we have these questions? What should we do when we are perplexed? Actually, God knew that this was coming, and he gave us this word, his word, and he gave us one book which has an answer to us. And this book can actually show us How should we deal with our questions? What should we do when we are confused, perplexed, and we don't understand God? And today, I want us to dive into this book and to see what God wants to tell us today. And before we're going to do this, let's bow our heads and pray for God's guidance. God, thank you for this Sabbath. Thank you, God, for this fellowship, for your presence. Now, God, we want to open your word. Please open our minds. Help us to leave aside all unnecessary thoughts and to be able to grasp what you want to tell us right now. We're praying, God, for Holy Spirit, be with us. Amen. Today we'll be looking at one man who also had questions. This man was a prophet. He is not as popular as Jeremiah or Isaiah, but he also has a book. He wrote a book. It's a pretty small book. It's called The Book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk lived in the difficult time for Israel, because it was the time when the kings were acting ungodly. They were all wicked. They all worshipped other gods. And Habakkuk, seeing all of this and seeing that righteous people are suffering because of these wicked people, he was also questioning God. Why is this all happening? Why are we suffering because of those people? And the book of Habakkuk is very different from other prophets, because in this book, Habakkuk doesn't address Israel or any other nation. Habakkuk actually just having a conversation with God, and he is questioning him. And basically, this book can be called a dialogue between Habakkuk and the Lord, because Habakkuk starts with a question and God answers. Habakkuk, after God answers, he has more questions. God answers again, and after that, Habakkuk answers, says the last thing. And reading all this book, we'll see the important lesson God wants to tell us today. And I hope it will be a blessing for every one of us. So now I suggest for us to start reading this book and to see what was going on there. The Book of Habakkuk. We're starting with a chapter first, and we will read verses from 2 to 3 to 4. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. So actually, we can see that the question Habakkuk had is not different from the most popular questions people today have. So basically here, his question is, violence, and you are silent, God. Iniquity, the law is powerless. Wicked people surround the righteous, but you do nothing. And it's pretty good question, actually. Because, really, why isn't God acting if he sees that his people are suffering? Where is God? And God answers Habakkuk. We will not read all answer, but to understand the general idea of the answer, we will read verses from 5 to 7. God answers, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Do you think that this was what Habakkuk was expecting. So basically God is saying, Habakkuk, look at the nation near you, Chaldeans. Yeah, God mentions Chaldeans. And God says, these people will come, they will possess dwellings that are not theirs, they are terrible, they are dreadful, and they will come and they will take you captive. So basically God was saying that you will be in captive by Babylonians, their Chaldeans. That was not what Habakkuk was asking for, because Habakkuk was saying, God, injustice, what's going on? Why are we suffering? But God says, it's going to be worse. Now I think that's why God doesn't answer us, because it might be the same. We ask something, but God answers. But actually, it was the real answer, and it was God's answer. It wasn't the bad answer. It was the best answer ever, because we know that God does everything perfect. We discussed it the last Sabbath school that what God does is never foolish. He's always right. But this answer raises more questions from Habakkuk. And Habakkuk continues. Let's read verses 12 to verse 13. This is the second question of Habakkuk. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. O Rock, you have marked them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? These questions make sense. If God is holy, if He is everlasting, if He is the true judge, why then this is all happening? Why God keeps watching on evil? Why He doesn't punish wicked people? Why does He allow them to do all of that? These are valid questions, and these are those questions which are alive in the minds of many people today. And God understands this, and that's why He responds. And God's second response is taking all chapter 2 of Habakkuk. And I think that this is the best answer God could have ever given to Habakkuk or to people. We have to understand that sometimes we think that we can understand God because, yeah, we were created in His image. Yes, we have conscience. But at the same time, God is God and we are people. It's totally different levels. That's why Isaiah said, no, God in the book of Isaiah said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my ways are totally different than your ways. Knowing this, God is trying to answer using our language, and He wants us to be able to understand why is it all happening. And here, when we are going to read this answer, we'll see that God wants to give us hope, give us peace. And He is doing His best to do that. So let's read chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Habakkuk is saying, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what He will say to me and what I'll answer then when I am corrected. So, see that Habakkuk saying that, okay, I said all my questions, now God, you reply, I'm ready. And God replies. Verses 2 and 3. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not Terry. God is starting with very important point. And I think we all have to understand this. So basically, God here is saying, Habakkuk, calm down. I am God. I am above time. I know what's going to be in the future. And there are some events which are appointed, yes, and they will happen. I'm never late, God is saying. I'm not going to be delayed. Everything is under control. It's a very good point because we people want right now and right here to be the best moment of our life. But God is not like that. He sees the end result. He knows what's going to be in the future. But we don't. That's why sometimes just knowing that God knows the future and He knows why is this happening is very important for us. And God continues. Verse 4. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. I think that this verse is the most important in this book and maybe in the very important in the Bible, because it shows this idea that proud people, arrogant people think that they know the truth, they know how to judge, they know what to think about others, but the just, the righteous, shall live by his faith. God is saying that those people who live with God, they live by faith. Even when they don't understand what's happening around, they keep going. They keep trusting. They live by their faith. Even when they don't understand God. After this, God, through all chapter, he's saying what Habakkuk was expecting to hear at first place. God is saying that wicked people will be punished, that my judgment will come, that yeah, you're right, and the true will be a reason. But now Habakkuk understands that God will do it in appropriate time when he knows it's going to be the best time for it. Because God finishing his speech by saying, verse 20, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. It's a kind reminder that God is the king. He's the ruler. He never makes mistakes. He's not the government we can complain about because he does everything right. He knows what is right for us. He knows us better than we do. And he knows when to do, what to do, and how to do. That's why he's saying to Habakkuk all these things. You know, actually, this answer of God totally changed Habakkuk. At the beginning, Habakkuk was questioning, he was dissatisfied, he didn't understand. But now, when Habakkuk answers, he's totally different. Habakkuk, a new man. Look what now Habakkuk is saying. It's chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. So now Habakkuk is saying, God, please continue doing your work. I see your glory. I see all you did. God, please remember mercy. His glory covered the heavens. His earth is full of his praise. So his eyes are open now. He sees that God is acting. All the time God was doing the right thing. Even before we were born, God was and he was acting. And he keeps going and he keeps doing the right thing. Even if we don't seem to understand this thing. But it doesn't seem that it's wrong. Habakkuk keeps praising the Lord. He's saying that your God are just, you're holy, you're worthy of all the praise and of all the worship. And Habakkuk finishes his speech with those beautiful words, which are called the words of faith. Verses from 17 to 19. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high heels. So now Habakkuk is saying, God, whatever will happen, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to experience joy because I know that you are there, you are doing everything the best way. That's the faith Habakkuk had. And that's the only way we can deal with our questions today. Because actually, our questions are not valid, you know, because they're ours. We don't see God's perspective. God knows the best. God knows what he is doing. One pastor told the story that when he was only beginning his ministry, he had to visit one sister who has been sick for a while, and she was active member of the church, but now she has this illness, and he was thinking, oh, maybe I have to find some right words, I have to explain why God allowed this. He was worried about this, how to explain her. But when he came to her, the moment he stepped to her apartment, she started praising the Lord, and she kept praising the Lord until he left. He didn't worry about explaining, because she was trusting the God. She knew that God is with her, even in all these circumstances. Personally, I also met many people who have this spirit. They're happy. I see that they have reasons to be complaining or to be confused, but no, they're praising the Lord. And there is a reason. One man once said that I was asking God for many, many things. He gave me nothing out of that. But he gave me what I was needed the most. Yes, God knows us, and we just have to remember that he wishes the best for us. And in all circumstances, we just have to trust him, whatever happens. Now, especially for me, this topic is close, because 4 years ago, when I was in Ukraine, all this history started, which raises many questions today for many people. Why did God allow this war? Why doesn't he stop it? Because it's still going on. It's been 4 years and a couple of months. And I see like many tragic events. But you know, right now, looking back, I can see that God was near us. God was near all Ukrainians, and he is still there. For example, I see many blessings which happened actually. Because those people who fled from Ukraine, they went to Europe, to some countries, even here, and they were blessing there, in the churches. And even in Ukraine, I lived in the Adventist clinic. And when war started, they started doing this free help for community. There is dentist, this like a car, and there is like a cabin. And they're just going around the Ukraine, the cities. They're helping people. And even government acknowledged their work. So we see the blessings. Now it's time when church can show up and they can help people, even in these circumstances. And I really can say that we can trust God in every situation because He is always near us and He wants the best for us. And I hope that He will help us, even if some of us have questions. He will help us to go through, to keep going. And finally, when we reach our destination, we'll see God. Maybe all our questions will disappear. Because, you know, we'll understand that's why it was happening. But now, I wish that every one of us would be able to just say with Habakkuk these beautiful words of faith, that even when something extraordinary happens, when we don't have food, when from human perspective, it's not the best what can happen, we will still have joy in the God and we'll still rejoice in Him. Because the Lord is our strength and He is the one in whom we can trust. Amen. Right now we'll sing the last